وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك. جزاك الله خير حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب for all your beautiful duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your duas and raise you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل للذين كفروا إن ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International. Continuing on the subject or relating to the Kalima La ilaha illallah, there are still quite a few beautiful ahadith which I'm going to share with you. It is related by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they all will be taken out of hell who said La ilaha illallah, and there was even a barley's grain weight of good in their hearts. Then they also will be taken out who said La ilaha illallah, and there was a wheat grain's weight of good in their heart. And then they also will be taken out who said La ilaha illallah, and there was an atom's weight of good in their hearts. And this hadith comes in Bukhari and Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. So this hadith once more confirms the view that the pronouncement of the Kalima La ilaha illallah signifies acceptance of the entire creed of Islam and shows that all those will ultimately be taken out of hell who recite the Kalima and profess Islam and possess any amount of good, that is the light of faith in their hearts. So in this hadith, the word khair has occurred thrice, and it was translated as good. But in another report, which has also been mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, the word iman, faith, is used instead of khair, which strengthens the view that yes stands for light of faith, the nur of iman. So two most significant points emerge from this tradition, which form a part of the universally accepted principles of iman and faith. So many people will be cast into hell on account of their evil deeds, though they may have affirmed faith in the kalima la ilaha illallah. So if in their hearts there will be the least amount of faith, or in the words of the hadith, even the weight of an atom, they will eventually be taken out of hell. It cannot be that a believer of the lowest order lives permanently in hell, along with the infidels, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, however sinful his earthly conduct might have been. So in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, ahadith conveying the same meaning have also been related on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, and in other compilations on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala an, and many other companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So according to all authorities, The point under discussion is proved from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through successive ahadith. So in the detailed version of the above hadith of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, which is contained in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, it is candidly stated that the faithful who have attained salvation will pray earnestly for the forgiveness of sinful Muslims who will have been thrown into hell, and Allah will allow them to go and take out of hell everyone in whom they saw even a dirham's weight of good. Consequently, a large number of persons answering to this description will be taken out. Next, permission will be given to them to go and take out of hell everyone in whom they saw even half a dirham's weight of good. Consequently, a large number of persons answering to this description will also be taken out of Jahannam. Afterwards, they will be commanded to go and take out everyone in whom they saw even an atom's weight of good. Thus, a large number of persons belonging to this group will also be taken out. Ultimately, the intercessors will themselves declare, "Our Lord, O Allah, now we have left no one in hell who possesses any amount of good." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "The angels have interceded, the prophets have interceded, and the faithful have interceded, and the intercession of all of them has been accepted. Now, only the turn of the most merciful amongst those who show mercy remains." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon will take out of hell by His own hand of forgiveness and mercy even those who will not have to their credit even a single act of virtue. About such people, it is also mentioned at the end of Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu hadith, his hadith, that they will be the ones set free by Allah. هَٰؤُلَاءِ أُتَقَاءُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ أَدْخَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَلٍ عَمَلُوهُ وَلَا خَيْرٍ قَدَّمُوهُ. He will admit them to paradise, since the deeds they may have performed and some deeds that they may not have performed, in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into paradise. This is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the early centuries of Islam, we find that the Murjiya sect and the Khawarij sect had gone the way of excess and curtailment in respect of this doctrine. And even now, the inclination of some people is towards excess and others towards curtailment. We therefore thought it fit to discuss it at some length here. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah guides to the right path whomever He wills. Now, all previous sins are forgiven on acceptance of Islam. This is also a very, very beautiful hadith. It is related by Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala an, "When the idea of embracing Islam was planted in my heart by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I presented myself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, 'Extend your hand so that I may offer bay'ah, a pledge.' So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam extended his right hand, but when I withdrew my hand, he asked, 'What happened to you, Amr?' I said, 'I want to lay down a condition.' 'So what is the condition that you want to lay down?' inquired Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 'So it is,' I replied, 'that all my previous misdeeds and sins be forgiven.' So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed and he said, 'Oh Amr, do you not know that the profession of Islam, that when a person professes the kalima, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does away with all previous sins, and hijrah also does away with all previous sins, and the hajj also does away with all previous sins.'" Subhanallah, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So apart from the acceptance of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke also of the importance of hijrah and hajj in the remission of sins in order to emphasize that what to speak of Islam, some of his rights too possess the property of washing away the sins. So two things, however, must be remembered. Firstly, the embracing of Islam, the doing of hijrah, and the performance of hajj are effective only when these are carried out with a pure and sincere heart. Secondly, it is a settled fact from the point of view of the Sharia, if a person has transgressed against the rights, especially of a monetary nature of fellow men, such an act or acts will not be forgiven on the acceptance of Islam or the carrying out of the hijrah or the performance of the hajj. It is essential to clear up the account in this respect with the aggrieved and to pay back their just claims. This is the justice of Islam. In the Quran also, the remission of previous sins has been promised to those who embrace Islam and give up for good the life of infidelity and polytheism. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِن يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell those who disbelieve that if they cease to disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which is past be also forgiven for them. It is in another hadith, it is related by Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, when a person embraces Islam and his Islam is also good, the sins he previously committed are forgiven by Allah due to the blessedness of Islam. And after that, the requital of all his good and evil deeds is that on every good deed, he is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from 10 to 700 times. And on every evil deed, he is punished by Allah for one evil deed, except that Allah may overlook that too and forgive him altogether. This is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. So it shows that the remission of previous sins on the adoption of Islam as one's faith is subject to the condition that the beauty of Islam spreads through one's life. That is, one's heart and soul are lit up with a radiance, and the body and the outward appearance get adorned with loyalty and submission to Allah. This is what and his Islam is also good means. Thus, everyone's life remains bereft of the elegance and effulgence of Islam, and his entire existence, the hidden as well as the manifest, does not get dyed in its hue even after entering into its fold. The promise of the remission of past misdeeds will not hold good for him. So he's got to live up to the tenets of the kalima la ilaha illallah. Furthermore, the remunerative law of every good deed fetching the reward for 10 to 700 times is meant only for those who have produced some of the beauty and radiance of Islam in their lives, and their virtuous deeds will count tenfold to 700 fold in proportion to it, the level of sincerity, etc., and the devotion with which they do their deeds, all will be taken into consideration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and understand the hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Chaddidu imanakum bi dhikri la ilaha illallah. Renew your iman with the dhikr of la ilaha illallah. So abundantly we must read la ilaha illallah. And when our breath stops after a couple of times saying it, we just say Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this can be said while we are working at home, while we are walking, jogging, running, while we are traveling to work, etc., or while we have our free time, you know, in our offices and places of employment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.